My name is Gianni Russo, a.k.a. Carlo, the infamous son-in-law from The Godfather. I'm now known as the Hollywood Godfather, and this is my story.
Before all of the wins in my portfolio, I was a little boy diagnosed with polio. Experimenting with cures, I tried every one. Felt everything in my right, but my left was numb. Walking with a limp, like will I ever run? Once again, or is this it? Am I forever done? Living in the hospital was never fun. Some people were cool, but not everyone.
Welcome, everybody. It's time for another Hollywood Godfather podcast. And this show is one of our favorite shows. It's the mailbag. So we can hear from you personally of what you want and hopefully some of your opinions and even some suggestions for shows. So first, let me bring in Jeannie, because we're a gentleman, Mike and I. Jeannie, Raymond, how are you, my darling?
I'm great. Thank you. So nice to be here. Always happy to see you guys.
And Mike, the Hollywood kid is with me.
I'm stoked. Always happy to do a great show like the Mailbag. And, you know, some people have been reaching out to me personally, like direct messaging on Facebook. They said, Mike, how can I get a question? I said, well, you can either give it to myself, Jeannie, or even Johnny. But anyway, yeah. What we want you to do is go to the website, HollywoodGodfatherPodcast.com. There's a section, you'll see it. Question, click on it, and everything comes up. So it's very simple, and it gets directly to us. Sometimes we don't use our phone during the day or whatever. We don't check messages, so sometimes we'll miss it. But go to HollywoodGodfatherPodcast.com. Again, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We can't stress that enough. Hollywood Godfather on YouTube. Comment, subscribe, thumbs up, thumbs down. You know, like the Roman Emperor days. You know, up, down in the Coliseum. You know, so that's it. So I'm stoked. Thank you for having me, and let's do it.
No, and not only that, what Mike is telling you, we do this show once a month, so you're going to hear from us during a couple of weeks before or after you tell us. So we want your input. It's very important to our success.
Yeah, for sure. And not only that, it gives us ideas for more shows. Let's us know what you guys are wanting to talk about. That's how I got introduced to these guys, because I had I've always had questions that I wanted to ask. So it's a lot better now because I can do it real time. My routine was get up, grab a cup of coffee, throw it back, go to the shower, and I've got some little speakers set up. So every morning when I woke up, there was a new episode for me. But I would forget because I'd jump in the shower, and I was seriously going to get a whiteboard and just stick it in there so I could write notes and ask questions, because I don't know that I've ever seen Gianni stumped on something that I've asked him about. I think my first question was about Frank Sinatra's son being kidnapped. I wanted to know what he knew about that, because I figured Gianni knew a little bit about everything.
Oh, yeah. That was a stunt his son pulled off. That backfired on him.
So crazy. So crazy. So we're glad you're all here, and thanks for the questions. And we've got some questions for episodes that were a while back. So referring to season 13 and episode 248, and that was the Battle of Stonewall. So it's been a little bit of time grabbing back in time for us, but we will certainly.
Well, hopefully that listener is still listening.
And that's right.
Get to it. And now Mike could tell us a lot more about Stonewall, because that was a part of history and that whole movement in New York City.
Yeah, the whole gay community in New York City back in the day. And there was an uprising. And so you had the Stonewall. And, what can you say? I mean, everybody has it, you know, everybody's got a life to live. And they can live it the way they want to do it. That's their business. And so God bless them.
That's right.
You know, I was amazed about with the result of that, how organized the gay community was and prepared for them to come.
Crazy.
Do you know a little about that, Mike?
I'm not astute to it. What went down, per se. I mean, I do know the incident.
Yeah, they were inside prepared and well equipped, and they never did anything. They overcame them, turned it around. It's funny.
Now, was that when there were people locked inside of a bar?
Yeah, that's Stonewall. That was the place.
70s.
Yeah, it was a gay community bar. I knew about it. Everybody did at the time. And it was just before that. I think it brought a lot of attention to the gay movement. And the rest is history now. And that became a landmark now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a landmark in New York.
They've done documentaries on it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, our first comment was from M.A. Gutierrez, and the comment was just great. So even if they're little short comments, we still appreciate you taking time to write in, and please write in again, and thank you for the compliment. Also, there is one from R.A.B., I don't know if that's Rab, and the comment was very interesting. I could swear there's episodes on some TV shows that must have been inspired by that. There were many, many talks and episodes on shows, I'm sure, inspired by the Stonewall incident. So,
and they're still going on. I mean, it comes up once a year, I think. Anniversary, especially, I'm sure.
For sure. All right.
And your next question, my darling?
My next question coming right up. This is about our episode from season 6, episode 111, and it is the interview with the actor and writer producer Chaz Palminteri. And this comment is from Richie Spadafora. I'm sorry, Richie, please write in again. You can give me a little hint on how to try and say these names. Write it out phonetically for me. But his comment was, it was absolutely amazing. So thank you for that. We're always so happy to hear that people are liking the show. But what do you think about that show, Gianni?
Well, Chaz is a good friend of mine for many, many years, obviously from Bronx Tale, and a talented guy. He did the one-man show based on. He's still touring with it. Wow. And, I mean, it's sold out every place he goes. And the gentleman, I mean, he's much like, well, he's younger than me, so he's much like me. We capitalized, like I did on The Godfather. He capitalized on The Bronx Tale, made a career out of it, and I'm thankful for that. I mean, but he's still acting. He's doing a lot of stuff. He's doing the Harlem Godfather. He's doing a lot of stuff that I'm not aware of, but I know he's very active and working as an actor. Now we should ask the Hollywood Kid, what does he think about?
I know he did a show called Gravesend with a gentleman I interviewed, William DeMeo. I believe he was in that episode. I think they got picked up for season 3. So Chaz Palminteri, when I did my podcast, I reached out to him, Johnny. I think I told you this like 5-6 times. Right. He was high up on my list. Paisan, Italian American. I got to get this guy, right? He's got some great stories, you know. Sort of same background, somewhat. 0 for 5.
But share some of the stuff that we audience maybe not have heard with Chaz, maybe.
Well, Chaz, I mean, if you know anything about Chaz and his career, I mean, I think he moved out to L.A., did some work in New York as a young guy. He moved out to L.A. We drove out there with a crap box. And I think he was a bouncer at a bar or a restaurant one night. And a gentleman that, Gianni, you would know, this gentleman used to have Oscar parties at the original Spago's in L.A. During the Oscar season, Swifty Lazar.
Well, Swifty hired him as a bodyguard for the show.
What happened was, now you can verify this with Chaz. If he's watching right now, he'll write in, he'll call you. He's like, yeah, the Hollywood Kid's right on the money. Anyways, so he was coming in. So Chaz was the guy saying, all right, no, hold on, sir. That type of deal with the rope, you know, that red rope. Hold on, sir. And the guy goes, you know who I am? And he goes, yeah, you're the guy who's not getting in tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Swifty went to the owner of the nightclub, whatever the hell it was, and they fired Chaz Palminteri.
That's funny.
But he was so grateful that he got fired that night because he went home and he drove his crap box home, and he went home and he wrote The Bronx Tale.
And the guy who fired him, his name was Wolfgang Puck.
Oh, Wolfgang. Wow.
It was called Spago's. That's where Swifty Lazar used to have his parties.
I'm not sure if it was that place though. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. But
And Chaz, I mean, anybody knows Chaz. He's like 6'2". He's a big guy.
Big dude. Spago was the famous, another famous story from Spago back in the day when Wolfgang had it, blah, 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 blah. Sinatra used to go there and valet his car. And he would tell them at the end of the night, give him a tip. He'd tell the valet, hey, kid, how much was your biggest tip? He said, oh, Mr. Sinatra, it was $100. He goes, hey, here's $200. He goes, hey, by the way, who gave you $100 tip? He goes, you did, Mr. Sinatra.
Yeah, that's an old story, yeah.
Yes, hey,
that's funny.
Frank was a very generous guy to common folk. I mean, that's right. I mean, really, he really was.
Yeah. I've been there. I went to the original Spago across the street there. It's called the Triangle. It was Le Dome, right? And there was Spago, and maybe it was Nicky Blair's. I'm not sure.
That was many years ago. That was up in Sunset Plaza. Okay.
There you go. Yeah.
It was Le Dome. Across the street was Spago's, and it was on the side street up above a building looking down. And then Nicky Blair had an interesting story. Nicky Blair and his roommate came from Brooklyn to make a career in motion pictures. His roommate was Tony Curtis. So we know who made it big was Tony Curtis.
Wow, yeah. Wow, Nicky Blair's guy was there as well. And Sinatra used to play poker in the back room.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I was at Nicky Blair's all the time. My house, I had a house on 806 North Elm Drive and Sunset. I used to walk up there. That was the place to be, you know. That's when Sunset Plaza. Then everybody moved into Beverly Hills.
What was the story, Johnny? I forget. I vaguely know it. I've heard it. A waiter or somebody in the back of the kitchen broke a bunch of glasses, and the owner, Nicky, fired him. Get out of here, you little shit. Get out of here. And Sinatra was there that night. And he didn't fire him. He said, no, you're not firing that kid. I forget the story. I'm paraphrasing.
I don't know that story at all.
Matter of fact, I'm paraphrasing. If our audience knows, write it in. It's a perfect shot right there.
There you go. Please. All right. What's our next?
All right. Our next question comment is from season 13, episode 243, and it was part two of our interview with Gary Mitchum Reeves. And Corey Bellis said, Jeannie is awesome, so thank you, Corey. Corey is one of our younger generation. I can tell by his picture here with this cute little boy. And Corey says, thanks for the awesome, amazing episode. And I have to tell you, those were two of the funnest episodes for me. Gary Mitchum Reeves, he talked about being wrongfully accused, well, and went to prison for, they thought he had killed his wife. But he told us stories, Mike, I don't know if you had heard this, but told us stories about being in prison and working for the warden and driving him around. And he said the warden would get kind of feisty and yell at him, and then he would take him for a Frosty, kind of like if you got in trouble with your parents. But and then we also talked about some recipes where Gianni was telling us his grandpa's favorite thing to eat out of the goat head. And
the goblin shell. Yeah.
That's right. I was dying. I was like, we're going to have to change this. I'm going to throw up.
Father used to eat that all the time.
No, Italians, forget about it. And it's funny because, you know, especially at my grandfather's house, he had the right to eat the eye. And that was like a major delicacy.
gross.
We could do a show on growing up Italian just for that. I mean, and my parents are right off the boat. So when you grow up Italian, you grow up totally different from the American kids.
Oh, yeah. My God, forget about it.
It's a total 360. I mean, I used to go to like junior high school, and I have my aluminum foil, I put it in the microwave, and I open it up, and it's a steam show. You know, it's like a sauna. And all the American kids are like, Mike, oh my God, what is that stink? I'm like, what is that stink? That's peanut butter and jelly. Get it away from me. It's making me sick. You know what I mean? All the Americans have peanut butter and jelly. I had something I couldn't tell them what it was in American. I don't even know what it is. I can't explain it to you. But whatever it is better than yours. Trust me.
I mean, it's so funny because, like you said, you know, coming like we all did, my grandparents as immigrants coming here, They knew how to create anything, and it smelled good and it tastes good.
Well, you know what? It was called peasant food. It was peasant food.
And now peasant food today, if you go have a pasta lenticchia or something like that in a restaurant, they want $14 for it, $16, $20 for it. The other thing is that I remember my grandfather 1 year gave us all for Christmas a goat.
Wow.
Gave us a goat.
And we thought
that was the greatest thing in the world. That's like an Italian dog. We had a goat.
They have seven lives, nine
Did
lives.
Did you eat it?
Wait a minute. So now we're feeding the goat. Oh. There was a big contest. Whoever got the goat fatter, would my grandfather pay us. And then they'd eat it.
Oh, my gosh.
And he wanted us to eat the goat. Forget about it. Because you go, hey, Grandpa, where's my goat? What are you talking about? Where is it? It's on the table.
He's cooking up. Italians,
we buy in bulk. I don't need to go to Costco's. I go to my mother's. Paper, whatever I need. It's all there. I don't even have a Costco card. For what? I go to my mother's. Crazy.
Those kind of memories to me, I wouldn't want to be a kid today.
But you know what? In all seriousness, a lot of that culture is dying off.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Oh yeah. Everyone's ordering HelloFresh and all those other things.
I try to keep it going. My kids, my parents, my father made wine, homemade wine, sauce, cold cuts. He made the sausages. We had 400 rabbits in my yard when I grew up. 400.
Wow.
They didn't die of natural causes. I promise you.
But you know what's so funny now that you're saying that? I put out in a very high end. I've been doing a lot of motivational speaking, and I made a mistake saying on the stage, if anybody wants to come to my house, personal with me, I'll cook. Up to my dining room is 16 people. There's a set fee, but what's making it attractive? I created a foundation called Yes You Can, and it's a .org. So as much as you contribute goes to children for their scholarships. I don't get a dime for it.
Nice.
And they come for 4 hours. Well, I have to slow down now because people are calling. I'm coming this time. I'm coming that time. But it's been so lucrative, and I'm so happy to do it. And what I cook is all those Italian recipes. My grandmother was Napolitan. My grandfather was Sicilian. So, I mean, you're getting two different kinds of, cuisine from the North and the South. We have a four-course dinner and have a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. At the end of the day, it's a lot of work. My mother, God bless her, she to this day, she's almost 90 years old. She still cooks like she's cooking for 40 people. Ma, it's just me and you tonight. Ma, you made food for 12 people. Who's gonna eat it?
But you know what it is? That's what they know.
That's it.
I learned from
their
that.
Their love language, right?
Yeah.
When I have these dinner parties, I start cooking 3 or 4 days before.
You gotta
cook an hour or two. And prep it. And the prepping is more work than cooking it.
Oh.
Then I'm ready to pop it in the oven. I sit. I have a houseboy who's been with me now almost 20 years. And Ugo, he has his little coat. I made him a coat, a black chef's coat, with all Godfather sayings on it. And now that became a collector's item. I want one of those. And I'm buying, and I'm selling, getting the guy to make them and selling them. It's like insane.
Oh, my gosh. Gianni, you know how long I take to prepare dinner? I can cook fine. I raised 4 kids. They're all alive. None of them starved to death.
Right.
But it's not that fun.
Oh, no. I mean, most parents today, unfortunately, both of them are working and they make dinner. They order it.
Well, you know, that's what
people
say.
And the kids
say,
like that.
Oh, I want
this. I want that. Now everybody's got what they want and nobody's eating anything.
It's
healthy.
Yes. No complaining. That's exactly right. But I've never been, and it was, I was busy with these 4 kids and going here and football and softball and swimming. And you know, it's, there are people that love it and do it great.
Oh,
my
no,
daughter.
You're not into it. You're not into it.
Yeah. Out of this world. But
cooking is a passion.
Yes. Right. I'm outside in the garden. I'm in the garden and Plus, you make it, you do all this work, you sit down and eat it in 5 minutes, and then it's over with, and then I got to clean up all the mess. But I could use a houseboy.
You
could
live
use
too far
boy.
Away.
I know.
Ugo don't take trips.
Christmas Eve was the only dinner I come home early for.
The seven fishes.
I'm going to be at my friend's house, Mike. Come on. What time are you coming home? I'll be there 10 minutes. He showed up 3 hours later. You know what I mean? But Christmas Eve, first guy at the table.
Yeah, the seven fishes.
It's tough.
Gianni, I know. One of these days, I'm gonna sign up for one of your house parties where you cook.
We'll arrange something that we'll do something here and film it while we're doing it.
Oh my gosh, that'd be fun. So the
good news and the bad news, every room in my house is set up for filming. So you never know when I'm filming you. And it's all sound, right? Because when I leave, it's part of my alarm system. So I have it on my phone. I could watch fire escapes. I could watch the roof. I could watch.
Gianni. All right. Let's see. This one talked about season 13, episode 241, Ogden, Utah, the lawless city. Well, I'll tell you what, I was just absolutely surprised, which I shouldn't have been because Gianni Russo has made it everywhere. But it was such a shock to see how many ties Gianni had to Utah. He was friends with Orrin Hatch.
I'm like,
you got to be kidding me. That's just sewn into the fabric of the Utah.
He was my lawyer. When I opened I had a vitamin company that I should have never sold.
No.
I did a Merv Griffin show and introduced it on Merv Griffin. They were chewable vitamins because they said you should supplement your body every 4 hours. So I came up with this idea and I made chewable vitamins. So if you like nuts, I'd make you see tastes like a walnut, this like a peanut. So I'm on Merv Griffin show eating. He's, what are you doing? I said, I'm supplementing my body. He's, what are you talking about? Because you can't promote stuff on TV. I always found a way.
That's perfect.
And Senator Orrin Hatch was just a lawyer at the time. And then I formed this company, and a major drug company bought it. I had a royalty for 10 years. I should have never let it go. It's a multi-million dollar.
Oh, yeah. I have those. I could pull them out of my cupboard right now. But you know, Gianni, see, this is a teaching podcast as well, because I do take a vitamin that is, it says you can take a few a day. So I've started spacing them out, like you say.
Oh, yeah. No, I
do. Hey, feeling like $1 million, right? All right. This is just a comment. I know I recognize these names. This is from Cheryl Cole. So hi, and thank you for sending in this nice compliment. She liked the one about Ogden. It said, this was a great episode. I'm glad Jeannie Raymond joined your podcast. And then Corey, our young fella here, he looks about, I don't know, I think he's about 35. He said, loves Jeannie. Glad she joined the show. So,
oh yeah, hello.
I appreciate it.
You're prettier than both of us. You're definitely prettier than both of us.
Now, the other question was, I noticed Pat isn't with the podcast any longer. Has he gone on to a different career?
He did. I'm glad for him because, you know, he dedicated himself after police work, went to school, became an educator, and he got a great job at a university, and that's what he's doing. So good to you, Pat.
Yes. All right, let's swing over. Oh, Mike, did you have any? Oh, here we go. Season 12, episode 221, Angie Dickinson, Frank Sinatra, and the Rat Pack.
Oh, my God. That was at the Sands Hotel. What? How can we get into that? Did we have that on a show? It must have been.
Hey, it was episode 12. And this is from RZ900, and it says, I always enjoy the podcast. Love the Rat Pack stories, too. So
the Rat Pack, you know, during the election of trying to get JFK nominated, I was out campaigning indirectly and bringing envelopes to union bosses and mob bosses for Costello, because Costello that made a deal with Joe Kennedy, because Joe Kennedy said, if we get his son, not me, but I mean the mob, we get his son nominated and becomes president, the first duty he would do is bomb Cuba. I mean, not bomb it, but take over Cuba and give them back all their casinos. And that's why they did it. The mistake John did when he became president was make Bobby his attorney general, and he went after everybody. That's another whole game.
Johnny, what do you know? We talk about Rat Pack and the Kennedys and JFK. What do you know about the inauguration night when the Kennedys wouldn't let Sammy Davis in?
Oh.
The problem with that was, unbeknownst to Sinatra, who was the producer of all the inaugural balls, five of them, and Bobby started showing his power that early on. And what I heard, and I wasn't privy to it, what I heard was that Sammy was loaded with drugs.
Oh.
And the attorney general, obviously, wasn't going to have that. And especially a Catholic president. So, you know, and that started it. In fact, I have the only photograph at the end of the night when Sinatra was sitting with JFK. And from that day on, that night, that would be the last photograph of JFK and Frank Sinatra. JFK was forbidden to be with Sinatra. I don't know if you ever heard about the story. He rebuilt his house in Palm Springs.
Yes.
Knowing he had to take care of all the Secret Service people and all that. And the biggest slap in the face, he had a date to show up there. And he didn't go. He didn't show up. He went to another celebrity's home. I don't want to mention that guy's name. But that was it. Sinatra was breaking the house up with sledgehammers. He couldn't believe that after all his work.
Put a helipad in the backyard.
I know. But wow. And then we all know what happened, unfortunately, 2.5 years later. I thought they were going to kill Bobby. They killed John first.
I
asked about that, actually. I said, why did they kill John? And Costello said to me, John gave his word to us. That's what he would do.
Oh.
Is that wild?
Yeah.
He said, I promise you when I get in, because Frank Costello wanted to hear it. Joe made the promise, but he wanted to hear JFK say it. And he did. He said it to Costello, which is an amazing end to that.
Yeah, well, the mob, the way they operate is, if, you know, they rendered Bobby Kennedy useless.
Oh, my God, did they? They didn't. When he made the announcement, they called Joe Kennedy. So you got to stop that now. That this is not what we're in here for. And, you know, talking about that, the first thing Bobby Kennedy did, or one of the first things he did, he went to New Orleans, Carlos Marsalis' house, on a Sunday, knowing he always had a family barbecue on Sundays, came with Secret Service and arrested him in front of his grandchildren.
Oh.
And while he was arresting him, Marsalis said, you're a dead man. So right away he called all the media over. He says, what'd you say? You're threatening Attorney General? He said, I'm not threatening you. You just said I'm going to kill you. It's not a threat. I'm going to kill you.
Oh.
And he did.
Yeah, Marcello, I'll live them all.
Oh my God. Yep. Moving right along.
All right. This is a question about season 12, episode 229, Paul Tanzo, falsely accused of double murder. They cut it off. But this is from Calvin D23. And he said, it's a very interesting show. I'm a big fan of your podcast. I don't remember this one, Gianni. It's before I was...
I don't remember, I was there.
Paul Tanzo, I can help you a little bit. Paul Tanzo's a Boston guy. He's from the North End. I don't know what went down, but there was somebody got killed. and somebody went to jail for life, and Paul was involved with the trial. He went to jail for a little while, I believe, and got out by F. Lee Bailey got him out.
Oh, wow. Did you know him, Gianni?
F. Lee Bailey, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Bailey, my God, he was representing a lot of my friends. That's how he got disbarred. Did you know that?
Oh, that's F. Lee Bailey of knowing got some disbarred. Of your friends.
Everybody, our audience, sure they know who he was. Because he did pass away. He was another local Boston attorney, but a very famed attorney. He was part of the OJ trial.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, he didn't get disbarred over OJ trial, though.
No.
After the OJ trial, he was representing very high power guys.
Also represented the Boston Strangler.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And F. Lee Bailey started because the mob wanted to pay him cash. And he thought that's a great idea. And he took in all this cash and they raided his bank and everything else and disbarred him because he wouldn't say who gave him the money because they were trying to get them on tax evasion.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's like these stories, they don't even get out there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. Hey, Gianni, now would be a great time to take a break, make you a little
all
money.
Right. Let's make some money. Mike,
all right.
Play a commercial for us. All right, we're back.
All righty. All right, so we have Grace Diane, and she just made a comment on season 12, episode 231, Mafia Psycho, Carmen Galante.
Oh, my God. And
yeah, tell us a little bit about him, Gianni.
I'll let Mike do that nuts, one.
Right? All right, Mike.
I know I did a show on Carmine Galante many, many years ago, but a lot of it I forgot. Oh, I know he was whacked with the cigar. That was the fan our audience don't know. He had the cigar in his mouth because he was famous for smoking. Oh. And he got killed by two Zips from Sicily that came over and smoked him. And
well, what happened when he got out of jail, he wanted to take over his family again.
Yeah, he was a big heroin importer.
Oh, yeah. A major, major earner. And
a heroin importer?
Heroin.
Okay.
Yeah. And well, heroin for a long time was the drug of choice for, Studio 54, great musicians. It's like, no, but his power was, he was a tough guy to begin with, but he was out of control.
The irony is he didn't trust any like henchmen around here. He only, because he was from Sicily, I believe. And he only trusted the ones in Sicily, and they're the ones who came over and killed him.
Well, that's why they brought him in. See, they were called Zips.
Zips, yes.
They bring him in from Sicily through Canada. They drive in, do their work. They don't even know where they're killing.
Yeah.
And they leave. And they're still around. They're still there, that organization. That I don't understand why anybody gets arrested for murder. You can come up with 10,000 and bring one of these guys in.
The CIA, they work at night, and you don't see them anymore.
Hello.
Like a ghost.
That's crazy. All right. I think we've got one more here and it just disappeared on me. Give me just a second. Mike, do you have any questions that someone has reached out to you specifically you were mentioning?
Yeah, somebody asked me about Johnny Russo, of course. They said, can you ask Johnny? Now, I forget how old you were when you filmed The Godfather, 26?
Yeah.
So, do the math. I did 6 years of high school. I'm going to do the math real quick. So that's 55 years ago. Is that right or no?
No, we filmed it. We filmed it, and it was released in 73. So we made it in 71. It's 52 years old, the film.
Okay, 52. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're how old are you now? You're 81.
Well, but I go European style. In America, I'm 80. See, in America, you're first year of life, you're 24 months on Earth. I can never figure this out.
I've heard about that.
Well, I think about it. When you're 1 month old, 2 months old, then in 12 months, you're celebrating your first birthday. No, you're celebrating the completion of your first year. The next day, you're in your second year. I don't care how you add it up. It don't work.
But this person reached out. They want to know, when you're alone sometimes watching television, I know you don't watch a lot of TV, but when you watch The Godfather by yourself and you see a 26-year-old Johnny Russo, what goes through your head?
One thing about that movie, I'm so proud of being in that movie even to today. And I'm not just proud of being a part of cinema history. What I'm really proud of, I was smart enough to lock in all Corleone Fine Italian products. And when I went to, this is an interesting story. When I went to buy the IP from Paramount for Genco olive oil, they didn't own it. I had to go buy it from somebody in New Jersey for $75,000. I can't believe it. I make $75,000 a month on that Genco olive oil alone.
That is crazy. Johnny, tell everyone where they can get your food. Because it's amazing. I've tried it myself. I did cook one time. It was 2 years ago when I first ordered your stuff, and it was fantastic. And I even had to bring my mom over for dinner because I don't make dinner. So I got the kids over. It's a big ordeal.
That's the easiest way to make an Italian dinner. Corleone Fine Italian. It's a website. And you could order Clemenza's meat sauce in a jar, heat it up, and now we have a whole line of pasta coming out. I'll be on QVC this year introducing Corleone pasta, which is a 400-year-old artesian wheat farm I bought in Corleone.
That is so crazy. And it is fantastic, I can say. And even a ding-dong in the kitchen like myself can make a fabulous meal.
Well, it's all salmon, manzano, tomatoes. I mean, everything about it, all the herbs are all from Sicily. I mean, you can't make a bad sauce. It's impossible.
Well, my son came over and saw the can of olive oil. He was like, Mom, that's the good stuff. Where'd you get that? I know people.
A lot of people take a couple of teaspoons or tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil in every morning.
Excuse me. I take it in the morning. I take it at lunch. I take it at dinner.
Well, I'm going to start doing that, Gianni, because it's working very well for you.
You will not believe what skin and hair.
Oh, really?
Oh,
I love it.
Eternally. Well, not for you, Mike.
Mike, you play the game, man.
Maybe rub it on your head. Who knows? Hey.
The massage. I need the pool boy to come and massage.
What about your book, Johnny? Where can I get your book? Both books.
Oh.
Well, no. Hollywood Godfather is still on Amazon.
Okay.
It's been on Amazon. It's a bestseller for 5 years yet. And my last book, The Sixth Family, was bought by a publishing house that they took it off the market and bought me with it, which I'm very happy about. That's part of the announcement. So I made a deal that's so insane. So everybody keeps saying, what happened to the Sixth Family? They contacted me. They said, we want to meet with you. And I met with them in a very prestigious publishing company. They said, we like the Sixth Family, but it compares nothing to the first book. That's what he's talking about. Same two people wrote it. He said, well, we have a different idea. I listened to them, and they bought the book off the market. And wow. We're coming out with books very shortly. My first book will be out 2025. And it's a monster. And that's it. I think we should end with that because it is getting late. And we want to thank all our listeners. Mike, do the commercial for how they subscribe and do whatever.
Go to our YouTube channel, Hollywood Godfather Podcast, guys. Go there and subscribe. Hit a thumbs up, hit a thumbs down, leave a comment. That's okay. We're adults. We can take it. Go to the HollywoodGodfatherPodcast.com, leave your questions over there. And guys, everything is on that website. Every show from day one till tonight is on there and everything in between. So you can hear everything. Everything's on there. There's bios on there. If you don't know my background and Jeannie's background, Go check us out and subscribe to my YouTube channel as well, Real Talk with the Hollywood Kid. There's tons of old Hollywood stuff on there. It's like a almanac. It does very well. A lot of views. So go there, Real Talk with the Hollywood Kid. And that's it, Johnny. Another great show in the can. That's all we do is crank them out.
No, please. Jeannie, always thank you. Thank you, Mike. And thank our audience. Without you, we'd be talking to ourselves over here. What are we doing?
Tell your family, tell your friends, tell all your enemies. So check it out.
Yeah, we'll talk to anybody.
we don't discriminate here. So, you know, a lot of people want to know when does the show come out? It comes out every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday, a new show.
New show. Check it out.
That's right. And we'll consider any idea you send us in. So.
Oh, yeah, please.
Send something in. We are on lots of different podcasts.
Platforms. Every platform.
Platforms. Thank you. So, yeah, get on your platform. Share
There's
them.
There's no reason you can't watch us or listen to us.
Find us anywhere. No. Watch or listen.
You know, what we do on this show, I mean, if our audience is paying attention, we have guests. We have banter back and forth. I mean, we're a very unique podcast. And there's a lot of stuff out there, guys. I'm sure you're well aware of it. But there's a lot of stuff that's really, it's too edgy in terms of what they talk about. The profanity, the subject matter. We don't get into that stuff. We're clean. We're a family show. Again, thank you for tuning in every week. Tell your fam. Tell your priest. Tell him he can watch too.
Yeah, we're a good clean family.
Good night. And God bless. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
And that was that. But I'll be back. No regrets, no complaints. Lived a life with no restraints. The little kid, they all counted out. Proved them all wrong, that's without a doubt. Laying there with my left side numb. 5-year bout with polio, but yes, I won. From standing on corners like, how many pens you want, to living in a bakery, then opening my own restaurant. Of course, I had some help along the way. Friends like Frank Costello that I miss each and every day. Things from many years ago still resonate.